chapter 20, beginning at verse 32. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 32. You can follow along in the middle of your bulletin where the Bible reading is. Verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship.
Father, I want to thank you for the ministry that you've called us to. Not one of us is worse off because we serve you. There is just something so beautiful about life that even when it gets tough, knowing that we are yours changes everything. So as we open your word today, Father, I pray that once again you would just help us to be generous people. Not because it's a burden to us, but because we want to experience the fullness of what it is to have a generous spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday I shared a story about my son Nicholas when he was a little boy. And if you remember, the story centered around the fact that he was really taken by the generosity of his scripture teacher. When his scripture teacher used to come and particularly around Christmas time, give every student some popcorn with a gift inside. And then Nicholas came to the realization that this scripture teacher would do this for hundreds of kids. And then on top of that, not only would he do it for hundreds of kids, Nicholas then got a chance to see where Nev lived. And he just lived in a little rundown caravan, in an old caravan park. And Nicholas was really taken by, how can Nev afford to do all of this for us when he lives in those kind of conditions? And he himself realized that Nev just wanted to serve his Lord with a generous heart. Well, that's one Nicholas story. I figured since I have left him alone for 3 years, it's probably good to tell another Nicholas story today. So two Nicholas stories in a row. Fortunately, Mitch won't tell him that I've been telling stories about him. There's another story that's happens about the same time. And Nicholas will tell you this story himself. One of the things that I used to do on a Saturday morning is quite often I used to like to read the newspaper. And so what I used to do is I'd ask my son and daughter, Nicholas and Melissa, whether or not they would go to the shopping centre. Well, it's not really a shopping centre, it was a shop. Just down from us. It was called Bell Hilltop, but it was down from us. Okay, so try and get your head around that. The Bell Hilltop, they used to go down from our place down to the shop. And I'd get them to buy me a paper and I would give each of them 50 cents so that they could also buy themselves some lollies. And Nicholas tells the story how when he got to the shop, he would spend a lot of time, and this sounds like Nicholas if you know him at all, and he would carefully calculate, wait for value out of these 50 cents. Because sometimes even though you can get 3 for a cent, that sometimes you're better to buy a fizzer instead because your fizzer are actually a bigger lolly for the money. And he would carefully, I think Melissa just got her 50 cents worth of lollies, or she pocketed the 50 cents and didn't even buy lollies. But Nicholas would then come back with the newspaper. But as he gave me the newspaper, he would live in fear that Dad might actually speak those words. Could I please have a lolly? And he would look in his bag of lollies and he would say, I don't know how I feel about this. And then he would look and he would hope that the shopkeeper had made a mistake, that maybe they'd put in a black cat or a black jelly bean or something that he didn't like, that he knew I liked, and that it wouldn't actually affect him too much. And of course, he would begrudgingly give it over. And of course, as I think through that, you know, we laugh at that. We can understand that situation, can't we? When that morning started, he had no money. I gave him the 50 cents. He went and got the lollies, and all I asked in return was, could I have one lolly? And yet it caused great grief to think, I've got to somehow share what I have. We laugh at that, but we understand that. Why is it we struggle so much when we get to the point of understanding that our God has given us everything? He has given us our lives. He has given everything that we have. He has given us salvation. He has promised us the kingdom of God. And it's like we've got this bag of lollies. And as he says, will you live a generous life for me? We hear him say it. We look at our bag and we are hesitant to give of what we have. It's a bit of a strange situation, I'm sure you'll agree. God doesn't ask to take some of what we have to be mean to us. He just wants us to experience the great blessing that it is to give of ourselves in a generous life. Paul said it in these words that Janet read for us. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. If you remember last week, we talked about the Beatitudes. And I think for me personally, the Beatitudes have completely changed in my understanding from just what we looked at last week. In that story in Matthew chapter 5, we see that Jesus looked at the crowd, and we've underestimated the significance of that previously, I think. Well, certainly I have. He looked at the crowd. He saw those who were mourning in the crowd. He saw those who were hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He saw those people in the crowd, those who were meek. And he said to the disciples, my desire is to bless these people. They've been through so much, but because I'm going to meet their needs, they are going to be a blessed people. But he's saying to the disciples, I need you to help me in this task. And so in the same way, Jesus is asking us. He wants to bless people. He wants to bless this community. He wants to bless those who are struggling. He just wants us to help a little. But as much as he said, as much as Jesus said to these people that they would receive the kingdom of heaven, that they would receive mercy, that they would be filled, as much as these people would receive these great blessings that we read of in Matthew chapter 5, there is this amazing declaration that Paul makes here in Acts that I hope you're not losing the significance of what it is. As much as these people who once mourned are now going to be blessed, Paul declares you are even going to be more blessed if you are willing to give. The greatest blessing we conceive, even greater than those who have received the blessing from God, is for those who are willing to give and to live a generous spirit. It's more blessed. You are more blessed to give than to receive. We know that to be true in real life, in regular life situations, don't we? You know those Christmas times when you've really racked your brain and you've decided on this present that you're going to give someone you love, and it might have cost you a little more than you would normally spend, but you just know they're going to love that present to bits, and you carefully wrap it. And then as you give the gift, you wait there with bated breath as they begin to unwrap it, because you just can't wait to see the expression on their face as they receive this wonderful gift. And as much as the receiver of the gift smiles and is all excited, the fact that you've given it just restores your soul. And that's what we're talking about today. Today's this whole series on living a generous life is not about the extra burden we have to carry. It's all about how we can have our souls restored. I don't know about you, there's something special in knowing that our souls are being restored. In Acts 20, Paul is about to embark on an extraordinary life and missionary journey. And we know from advanced reading that it's going to be a journey full of highs and lows. There are going to be people that he shares the gospel with, and they're just going to hear the gospel, and in the most wonderful way, they're going to turn their lives around, they're going to be transformed by Jesus Christ, and Paul's going to rejoice in those moments. But we also know there are going to be times when he's going to be shipwrecked, he's going to be persecuted, he's going to be flogged. And so it's going to be, as I say, an extraordinary journey full of highs and lows. But before he heads off, he actually calls the elders of the Ephesian church to him. And as he calls them to him, he says, I have a commissioning. There's something that I want to commission you to. And if we go back a few verses to before what Janet read, back to verse 28, we see Paul declares, you need to keep watch over yourself and also the flock. And it's not because Paul says you have to do it. It's because they've been commissioned by the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that Paul says is, don't do what I'm about to say because I'm telling you to. I'm just a man. I want you to know that your calling has come from the Holy Spirit. There should never be a time in which what we do in the church is just done because someone tells you to do it. And I even say that. It'd be nice if you all did it because I told you to, but that's not going to happen. And neither should it. It should happen because God himself has called you to do it. It's because of your response to what God is calling of you. That's why you do what you do. And that's the way it should be. And that's what Paul says to these elders. The Holy Spirit has called you to this. It's what you need to do. Remembering that you are called to be faithful. And so he declares to the elders that firstly, you are called to be shepherds of the church of God. Why did they need shepherds and why do we need shepherds today? Because as he also declares there, there are wolves out there that are going to be looking for how they can pull the church down. We know that's very true today, don't we? There are wolves everywhere wanting to pull the church down. And I would like to declare that they're always just outside the church. But of course, there are times when there are wolves even within the churches as well. And so we need to make sure that there are shepherds, people who we can rely on, elders of the church that we can count on. And that's what Paul is declaring here. So as Paul leaves, he's not thinking to himself, you know, I've left this church humming. This church is in a really good spot and it won't have any hassles. As Paul heads out, he goes somewhat, I wouldn't call it quite a fear, but he heads out a bit concerned that if he hasn't prepared the church well, if he hasn't prepared the elders with well, then there could be real struggles in front of them. And so rather than just leaving them with the burden of the task, Paul also leaves them with a gift. He leaves them with a gift, and that's what we read about in verse 32, a very precious gift. Now I commit to you, to God, to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who have been sanctified. So what's the gift he's leaving them with? It's God's grace. An encouragement from God that they are being called to a special responsibility that will require all that they are, all that they have. But here's the promise, God will sustain them and he will even give them an inheritance. Paul spent a lot of time in his writings talking about the inheritance that is a child of God's. He spoke of the fact that we would receive the kingdom of God. He speaks about that in 1 Corinthians. He speaks about that in Galatians 5. He liked to let people know that our inheritance is the kingdom of God. We see that not only was it the kingdom of God and the richness which goes beyond this world, but he also said you will also have an inheritance that is salvation. an inheritance that is eternal life. Do you understand what that is? There's not going to be a bag that I could bring out here that's big enough to hold the reward that is ours. The kingdom of God, salvation. What an incredible, incredible array of gifts that we have received. And Paul wanted to let the elders know that no matter what this journey is going to cost them, it is nothing compared to what they have received. Part of me thinks that should be the end of the story. I really, in lots of ways, think it would be really nice if he'd concluded his little chat to the elders at the end of verse 32. You know, and then he gives the elders a nice big hug and says, you know, I go to the task and I look forward to catching up with you a bit later. Nice big hug, say goodbyes, and then he hops on his boat and he just sails into the sunset. Wouldn't that be a nice way of ending the story? And we would all just smile and leave church today with feeling really good about everything. But then he adds verses 33 and 34, which in some ways I have to say, it feels like it kind of cheapens the impact of the words that he's just spoken. But Paul can see a danger and he wants to nip it in the bud right from the word go. It's an interesting phrase in itself, nip it in the bud, isn't it? I actually like that. It's a really good phrase. Nip it in the bud. Verse 33, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Verse 34, you yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied all my needs and the needs of my companions. So what's the danger here? What does he feel like he needs to say? I haven't sought after your silver or gold. I think the danger here is that we are in great risk of our position, particularly our position of authority or our position within the church, to actually forget the job we're called to do. It's easy to somehow see our inheritance, that the kingdom of heaven is ours, salvation is ours, but then we forget to see the task that's before us. It's easy for us to forget the task which needs to flow out of the generosity that God's shown us, and instead we all of a sudden begin to focus a little more on the gold of this earth, the silver of this earth, the clothing of this earth, and before long, rather than focusing on the inheritance as ours, we focus on the things of this earth, and the job doesn't get done. Jewish history was littered with people of position who more honoured their position, abused their position, and who forgot their calling. Of course, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. Paul is pleading with the elders, don't go there. As shepherds of the church, there is a role to give and to support the weak. There is a need to support and encourage anyone who needs your help. And that's why he speaks these words. Don't go there. Do not honour and seek after the things of this earth. Remember the inheritance that is yours. As people who have received salvation and inheritance in the kingdom of God, we certainly don't have any need to focus on the wealth of this world, but simply go about our task of being a blessing to others and giving of ourselves generously. Generous living was never intended to be a burden. It was never intended to be a chore. And it should never be that. It should never be something that we do just because we're told we have to. It was always intended to be a response that just flows out of the immeasurable grace that God has shown to us. Can I go back to that opening illustration that I used about Nicholas? How much different would a moment like that be if Nicholas was to walk back with his newspaper and a bag of lollies? And he just walks up to me and says, Dad, you can have whatever you like. Not even saying which one you would like, but just to say, Dad, you can have whatever you like. it would be an incredibly special moment. And that's what God asks of us. Where rather than saying, well, we'll give of this or we'll give of that or we'll spend 10 minutes or we'll spare 10 minutes if we can, we simply open up our whole lives like a big bag of lollies and we just say back to God, God, you've given me everything I have. You can have whatever you like. I'm happy to give you whatever you want. That's what a generous life is. It's not us choosing what we will or won't give, but offering all that we are to our God, who we just love to bits and desire to serve. Let's pray together. Father, it is easy for us to understand a bag of lollies. It's easy for us to understand even how hard it is for a child to even give up one. And so in the same way, Father, we can understand that there are some times when we really struggle to give up what we have back to you because there's something in us that wants to keep the goodness that you've shown us. We want to keep it for ourselves. Father, would you help us to be generous people? Would you help us to be generous livers? People who are willing to say all that we are, everything we are, everything we're not, we just offer it all to you to use as you see fit. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.